the sound of laughter in the background upstairs in the kind of, I don't know if it's a chill out area, people normally eating and drinking here, and there's a talk going on downstairs. We're in, where are we? What's the name of this park?
Schlosspark, I guess so. I'm not sure, actually. Schlosspark, I think so.
What's your name and why are you here?
My name is Martin Schlatzer. I'm working at the Institute of Meteorology, University Vienna. And I'm a scientific researcher, actually. And I'm there. I listen to Ramstorff. He's into climate change. There are a few topics which are very associated with my work. For example, regarding food sovereignty or food security, and these are some studies I also work in Vienna.
Yeah, food sovereignty was something I wasn't too kind of au fait with. I didn't know that much about it until listening to some of the speakers here. Tell me about your interests around food and the climate.
Okay, My studies mainly focus on climate impact assessments, but also on nutrition ecology. And nutrition ecology is like is an interdisciplinary science dealing with the connections between nutrition, environment, health, social and economic aspects. This is a wide field, and it's a broader broader view on topics like food security, resource use, and that stuff. And it's very important that if you look at nutrition, there is a huge impact on climate change. For example, there is the well-known FAO study, Livestock's Long Shadow, from the Food and Agriculture Organization, and they stated that 18% of all anthropogen, that means all all greenhouse gases caused by man, can be traced back to the animal production sectors. That means eating meat and consuming milk products and so on causes more greenhouse gases than the entire transport sector, for example. The transport sector is about 13.5%, and it's all vehicles, all cars and planes together.
That's quite incredible. Is that because methane and gases like methane, and obviously there is a lot of carbon dioxide involved in many agriculture situations, but methane is much, much worse for the environment than CO2?
Actually, it is, yes, it is. I mean, there are three parts. It's methane, but there is also caused by cows and sheep and so on. And then there are two other sources of greenhouse gases associated with the animal production sector. First is the cutting of trees. Deforestation indeed causes lots of CO2. That is the main source. The second source is like the production of nitrous oxides and herbicides for the fodder. And the third is the animals.
So the fertilizers for the feed, and that's the nitrates. The deforestation to kind of make the grazing areas, and then the gases from the animals themselves. I think I read in the news today that people are eating less meat than they were last year. Is that a good news story then?
Actually, I have to say, I didn't hear of this study, but you mentioned it depends where you look at. But in industrial countries, it's like meat consumption is like stagnating, or even like there is a certain tendency that it grows, but not that huge like in the past. But where it really grows fast is like in emerging countries like China, and here meat consumption quadrupled in the last 25 years. 30 years ago, it was about 15 kilograms per head and per year, and it quadrupled to 60 kilograms per year per head. And in China, which got over 1 billion people, and that has a huge impact on the environment, not meaning that we have the that we shall put on our finger in a moralistic way and say China, they are not allowed to do develop. But I think it's important that we cut meat consumption to a third, mm-hmm. because and on the other hand, it's important that that there still meat consumption will rise. I think so in China and other states, and that this is in emerging countries that it will level off at a certain point. Because if you look at the projections, they are really not that positive. It's like projected by the FAO that in the next 40 years, the meat consumption will be plus 70%, and therefore the meat production will be plus 50%, will double in the next 40 years. It's a business as usual scenario, but it looks like, because if you look at the past history, it is very probably. And if we really do that, then it's not only about climate change. Resource use is a huge problem, because if you have need, if, for example,
50% more land would be huge.
50% more meat production, therefore, you need more land, because meat production per se is very resource intense regarding land. You need 2 to 3 times more land, more water, more energy, and that's a huge problem. If one number, if you would take all the fodder middle, which all the fodder which we now deliver to animals, if you would take this and deliver it to humans, then regarding the
calorific value,
then you could feed 3.5 billion people instead of one on the base of meat. That means you can more than 3 times more people you could feed, and it means regarding nutrition security on the middle to long term, this would be really. Huge starting point, I guess. So, and
that's fascinating. I mean, are you a vegetarian yourself, or you decided to not eat meat at all, or just cut down?
I'm even vegan, it's also about. I mean, there are health issues associated with nutrition. There are economic, ecological problems, and vegetarians. And the most important thing is one of the most important. Things I, which is important, what I want to state, is that vegetarian diets, respectively vegan diets, that they can function as an instrument, as a tool for sustainable lifestyle. Mm. I mean, integrated into a sustainable lifestyle. So, because 20 years ago we said like, oh, meat, no, then we will die, you know, we have no meat on the bones and then die like 1 or 2 days. You're laughing, but it was
laughing
like this.
I know, I remember, because, you know, I was maybe vegetarian for 14 years at one point, and I'm not a huge eater of meat now, and I haven't eaten it since I've been in Austria, as far as I can remember, but I haven't noticed, because there's creativity and imagination in the cooking and preparation, which I think is key here, imagination in not just cooking and preparation, so we don't feel like we do need to supplement with other proteins when we have a massive choice. Right. But also the imagination to see what may happen if we cut back. I'm not saying stop. I don't think it's ever safe to say to anybody just stop, because suddenly we'll be having to feed farmers who have nothing to do. But it's important that we can actually think that this is a small thing. Instead of buying 6 sausages, buy 2. You know, suddenly it becomes a treat. Yeah. And if we all did that, that would be quite immense, I think.
Yeah, for sure. That would have a huge impact. Because look at this. Look at the fact that there are also studies done by the European Commission, for example, and they looked at the technological
you're thinking some big words today.
Yeah, I guess so. Technological. It was the interview is very spontaneous. So I was not prepared, but anyway, and it was like, 20% is only the option if we improve our seeds and our yields, etc.
If we're allowed to improve our seeds with people taking ownership and copyrighting seeds, it's a very, very strange world we're living in right now.
Yeah, that's really, yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't want to depress you.
No, that's really a problem. You mentioned it. I mean, there are several problems we are facing, humankind will face. I mean, it's not only climate change, but other environmental, there's peak oil will be a problem, definitely. And
what is fascinating here is, you know, if people sit down with a list of things, okay, so climate change, I've heard it so much now, but hang on, the river at the bottom of my garden is flooding more than normal. I'm now seeing that something is happening. I need to do something quickly. Suddenly, it's not saying drive less. If they live in a village, they have to drive. You might say get a more economical car, but now you're saying you can have helped the climate by changing your diet. People may have forgotten or not even known this in the first place.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I think there have to be initiatives and there have to be campaigns which also force, enforce people to choose another diet. I mean, because if you also in Austria, it's like we are very meat, you know.
No, I saw the breakfast this morning at my hotel.
Yeah, like
15 different types of meat and 3 types of fruit.
Yeah, that's a real problem. And I think sustainability, it begins on our plates, and there we can really change something because on average, if you take animal products and plant products, animal products are like 10 times worse regarding the climate change impact. So it really matters what you eat.
Well, thank you so much. Have you got a website that people could visit, or do you have a name people can Google?
Martin Schlatzer is my name, and I'm working at the BOKU Vienna. And BOKU, and you can just Google, and oh yeah.
Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for agreeing to do this with absolutely no preparation other than 20 seconds to say, okay.
Okay, no, it was nice to meet you. No problem.